This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. Neil, the boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. As usual with me in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. You're sporting your Raptors cap this morning.
Absolutely. Good morning, Walt.
The city was on fire last night. Also joining us in studio this morning, former Toronto Maple Leaf, Lou Franceschetti. And without further ado, we're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. First thing on our show today, Raptors analyst Leo Routens. Leo, how are you this morning?
I'm great, guys. How are you? Everybody good?
We're a little bit worried, but you're the consummate professional. We would have completely understood if you didn't join us this morning. I know it's probably been a late night for you last night. So, Leo, thanks so much for joining us this morning and helping us celebrate the greatest moment in Toronto basketball history. Leo, I watched it last night. I watched the interview with you after the game, and this victory meant something personal to you as well. And like you to share that with our listeners again, those who weren't able to stay up till past midnight last night. This is, after all, Zoomer Radio. You're a little bit emotional, Leo. This game, this victory meant something to you. You're a Toronto boy, grew up in the 70s, and got the opportunity to reflect back on the Buffalo Braves, Bob McAdoo. Tell us what this meant to you from a personal level.
Well, you know, I think there's two sides. You know, one from the Toronto Raptors. You know, I was there for the first game, the first basket at Sky Dome. Called the game, and to see where the team came from. You know, from expansion to the whole Vince Carter era to just one thing after another. The good, the bad, and the mistakes, the all kinds of good things and that they were able to do to come out of things at different times. And when you're a part of the whole thing, and then all of a sudden it gets to this point where now you have an opportunity to play for the championship. It's just phenomenal. And you take it to another level where, as you said, growing up in the city, you rarely saw NBA. The Buffalo Braves had some opportunities to play some exhibition games, and that to me was like the biggest thrill in the world. But then you look at, you go from there to having a team in the city. You go from a time when nobody cared. Nobody cared about basketball. Nobody cared about the game. But you had a hardcore group of people in this city, in this country. That really did, that cared, that wanted the game here, did everything they could to put it on the map any way, shape, or form. But it was a hard fight, right? It just there's just no support. And with the NBA coming to Canada and then the Toronto Raptors and their success, what we've seen is incredible growth. The game is exploding in this country. It's like arguably the highest participated sport in this country. And you're seeing more kids in the NBA, and it's just the way the game just continues to grow. So having something like this happen now, is just going to continue to take it to even a higher level, which makes it exciting, for all of those, all of us that have been there from the beginning, and have grown up in a city like Toronto, it's absolutely unbelievable. It's just too good to be true, really.
The turning point in the series was the bench. Very important. And how did Fred Van Vliet turn it around? He looked right out of it, right? And he ended up turning it around, and he played well the last three games.
Well, you know what? Before the series started, I said that this is going to be a series where the bench is going to be important, and they're going to have an impact. And a lot of people, say, Raptors are in trouble based on what happened with Orlando and Philadelphia, and how the bench, in some ways, especially the Philadelphia series, was ineffective. And to me, that was all about matchups. The Raptors had the toughest path to the Eastern Conference Finals with Orlando and Philadelphia, and they were unique teams because they were long and really athletic. And when the series, when all of a sudden it's Milwaukee, everybody's it's the first place team in the league. But to me, it was a more traditional team. Yes, they have some bigs, but they're not as crazy athletic, other than Giannis Antetokounmpo, as we saw with Orlando and Philadelphia. So a lot of the guys that struggled, I thought, would be able to come out of those struggles as soon as they realized there's going to be a lot of room. You're going to be able to do some things that freer than you were able to do in the first two series. And Fred was one of those guys. I mean, Fred struggled in the first two series. And then at the beginning of the first two games in this series, he struggled. And towards the end of game three, Kyle Lowry, fouled out a double overtime game. Kyle Lowry fouled out at the end of regulation. And it was one of those situations where, Fred had to play. That's it. You're in. There's nothing you can do. This team's not going to win if you don't play and do your thing. And I thought he did an unbelievable job in that situation. And that kind of catapulted him into the next game. And he shot the ball well. And it just kept going from that point on. And, once he found his mark, that was it. His defense and his toughness, all that was always there. But now he's seeing the ball go through the net, and he's been and trust me, that was a huge factor. And when you got a guy like Fred, Norm Powell, when those guys coming off the bench and do what they did, Serge Ibaka, it made a big difference, huge difference over the last three games to allow the Raptors to win.
Now we're talking to Leo Routens. Leo, at various times during these playoffs, certain members of the Toronto Raptors came under criticism. There were points where Lowry got criticized, Van Vliet, Ibaka, and the coach, Nick Nurse. But in this series, Raptors are down 2-0. They've got to go to double overtime in game three. And then, it seemed Nick Nurse made all the right moves. And certainly he took some criticism, and I think it's appropriate this morning to give him some credit. Just got the sense that he made the adjustments when he had to. And, they say players take their game to a different level. To a certain extent, I almost got the sense that Nick Nurse rose to the occasion and made the moves that got turn the series around. I'd like you to comment on that, Leo.
Well, I think Nick Nurse deserves a lot of credit. I think he's been tremendous, one, throughout the regular season. With all the changes, the Raptors had, trades, you have load management, you have all these different things happening throughout the season, injuries, and nothing fazed them. And in the playoffs, I think he's been spectacular as well. And he's taken criticism literally in every series. People were finding, things to pick and come at him with, which didn't make any sense to me. Playoffs are about adjustments. And you may not like, one game or another game, but you don't want to have knee-jerk reactions. You know your team as a coach better than anybody else. And he knows the game extremely well. He feels the game extremely well. So I just thought that he did a great job of, just figuring it out as you go. Don't panic. Keep this team loose. Keep your players loose. Trust your players. There's a lot of guys, like we talked about with Fred, that, he really struggled. There were people clamoring for Fred to be taken out of the starting lineup and other guys get his playing time. And Nick never wavered. He trusts his guys. And I think that trust was rewarded. And, he really is a tremendous coach, even on the national levels in the States. Nobody's really talked about Nick Nurse's, as somebody that's a part of the Raptors' success. And, I think that's a big mistake. The Raptors, think about this, the Milwaukee Bucks had the best record in the NBA. The Toronto Raptors were two games behind them in the standings, two games. And there was no focus on trying to win the conference. There was no focus on trying to have the best record. The focus was all about doing what they're doing now, getting ready for the playoffs. So, when you can do that and finish with 58 wins, and have the success you have with all the different players and changes, it's unbelievable to me. So I think, I really do think Nick Nurse deserves a tremendous amount of credit, for the success, the Raptors are having. And, one of the reasons I think the changes were made, from Dwayne Casey to, Nick Nurse, was the Raptors had to do better in the postseason, right? And Nick, Dwayne Casey did a great job over his time, but they had to get a different voice and had to try something different. And you could feel pressure from Casey. Once you started getting near the playoffs towards the end of March, early April, you could feel tension with Dwayne Casey. But it's never the case with Nick Nurse. He just keeps his guys loose. He keeps them focused. He doesn't get hung up on things. And as a result, I think you're seeing a team that could potentially win the NBA championship. So phenomenal job on his part.
Leo, who does Kawhi Leonard match up with in Golden State next series?
Well, you could put Kawhi Leonard on anybody. That guy is just a ridiculous defender. He's the best two-way player in the game today. So when it comes to Golden State, I think the Raptors are going to have to, I think a lot of teams and people watch this team don't realize just how good defensively they are. Kawhi's obviously a huge part of that, but this as a team, they're just unbelievable how they're able to change a game. And you're going to need every bit of that against Golden State. My gut is we're not going to see Kevin Durant. I think his injury is significant enough, despite everything that is leaked out, from Golden State or whatever they choose to share. I don't think he's going to play. I think his injury is more severe than they've indicated. So now, taking out a guy like that, obviously Golden State's played extremely well without him, and they have all season, quite frankly. But having a Kevin Durant available and on the floor really puts a twist in how you have to guard this team. And so now, you could put, at times you're going to see a lot of switching. Clay, I should say, you're going to see Kawhi on Clay Thompson. You'll see Kawhi on Draymond Green. I'm sure the switches where Kawhi will be on Steph Curry. So it's hard to say one particular player that he's going to be matched up against, because I think you're going to have to see a lot of flexibility on the part of this team to get to shooters and to take transition away and to do all kinds of things to win that series. So you're going to see him guard, I think, multiple players as the series goes.
What's going to be the key to the series? Obviously, the bookmakers, the bookies, or the Warriors will probably be. My gut instinct tells me overwhelming favorites. The Raptors are still in some circles down in the States, still proving themselves. Although I think they've proved themselves. What's the path to victory, Leo? Warriors are a dynasty in this era. What do they have to do over a course of a series to beat the Warriors?
Well, I wouldn't pay attention to a lot of the experts. I mean, a lot of people felt Philadelphia was going to beat Toronto because everybody said they're the best starting lineup in the NBA. Definitely Milwaukee was going to be the team that's going to play against the Golden State Warriors. And people were saying that they were going to beat the Golden State Warriors and take them down. I think the Raptors can win. I think the Raptors can beat Golden State. Now, don't get me wrong. Golden State is a tremendous team. What's the big thing that the Raptors have had in the playoffs that have helped them get to where they are? And that's experience. Now you're playing a team that's, they've been to the finals five times, right? So they're NBA champions. They know how to play. They move the ball extremely well. So, playing this team – you have to control the game. You have to control tempo, because they can get out and run on you in a matter of a minute and a half. They can put a 15-point lead on you. So you really have to be careful of, one, you know, the kind of shots you take. You take bad shots, they're going to kill you. They're going to get out and run. It's going to be over. You take, you turn the ball over. You know, live ball turnovers just feeds this team. So it's extremely important that you play with a lot of discipline. You play smart, because not only are they a great offensive team, but they're also a really, really good defensive team, and they feed off of their defense. So much like Milwaukee, if you can control the tempo, don't let them get out and run the way they like to run. Force them to defend as well by you running at the right opportunity. And like I said, take good shots. Keep them in. You've got a great opportunity to play. You can't, don't let their shooters get loose, get free, get easy shots to get going. And the Raptors, I think, are capable of doing all those things. So, I think it's going to be a much better matchup than people anticipate. And remember, a few years ago, Kawhi Leonard was tearing Golden State up. A player at the time, Zsa Pachulia, came down underneath him, and he turned his foot badly to the point where he basically couldn't play the rest of the series, and Golden State won. I really believe that had Kawhi Leonard not gotten hurt at that time for San Antonio, they would have beaten Golden State. So now he's got an opportunity. It's not that a guy like him needs any more motivation, but now he's got an opportunity to get that back, what was taken away from him. And I don't know if I want to face a Kawhi Leonard with that kind of incentive.
Talking to Leo Routens, Lou.
Leo, a couple of things here. I remember that game. They were up by 25, I think, halfway through the game. When that incident happened, and I thought San Antonio was going to take him to the cleaners the whole series, and then obviously the drastic thing that happened to I thought it was his knee that went on him. But I'd like to know where all the bandwagoners are that jumped off the bandwagon when they first made this trade, DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard, and I'd like to say, Canadian basketball has come a long way since you and Jay Triano used to run the courts here in Toronto and in the province of Ontario. And you can see all the little kids right now playing basketball. And have you ever run into John Petrushak in the recent times?
Oh, John Petrushak, boy, that's a great name for Canadian basketball people from Toronto, especially, one of the great high school coaches. And I haven't seen John in a while, but, back then he had the big three, John Petrushak, Dan Parnagas, St. Mike's, and Al Quantz at Oakwood. And, there was a great era of basketball in this city and the province that they were a part of. And I would call that basketball royalty, but a lot of people just didn't understand the deal, and you got to give Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster of the Raptors great credit. They just felt that things had plateaued. Raptors had great regular season success, and LeBron James was in the way, as he was with a lot of other people. And things just didn't translate into the postseason. And it wasn't necessarily the fact that they lost, but how you lost, things you weren't able to do. And Masai went all in. He let go of Dwayne Casey, the coach of the year. That takes a lot of onions to pull that off. And then they went out and got one of the most beloved players in franchise history, DeMar DeRozan, and sent him in a trade to San Antonio. And I'll be honest, when I saw that, I said, wow, how somehow the Raptors are able to get Kawhi Leonard. Are you kidding me? And Danny Green as well in that, as a throw in that deal. I said, that is unbelievable that you got these two players. And then the key was going to be, is Kawhi, are you going to be able to get him back to being the guy he was? And the Raptors director of sports science, Alex McKechnie, has been phenomenal. Literally the day the Raptors got Kawhi Leonard, He took over in taking care of his body and his medical staff, and you know, everybody mocked the load. You know, talk about bandwagoners. Everybody mocked the load management and the fact that Kawhi, you know, sat out games, and they were very, very careful of, you know, rebuilding his body basically and his legs to compete in the postseason. And you know, is anybody complaining now?
No,
you know,
no.
A lot of people that thought it was stupid and it's ridiculous, and he should be playing. Now you have a guy that has been the best player in the postseason because of the way they took care of him. And I think that's going to go a long way with Kawhi Leonard himself as you get into free agency, how the Raptors handled him and the care they gave him. But, you know, you look at those moves, and that's all in, man. The Raptors, you know, Sire Jerry was all in to win. And then he took another player that Raptor fans have loved and has continued to grow as a player, in Jonas Valanciunas, and he traded him to get a Marcus Ole. And all of a sudden, the dynamics of this team changed dramatically. The ball movement, the basketball IQ, the defensive abilities. You're talking about, you know, the Raptors can put four all-defensive players, two former defensive players of the year on the floor at the same time, and a Kyle Lowry who's led the NBA in taking charges and is leading this postseason in taking charges. How many teams can do that? So Masai went all in, and I think it's a credit to him, and it's a credit to the organization to allow him to do whatever it took to put the Raptors in this situation. And now it's just fun seeing it all come into fruition. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm just enjoying the ride and all the people that criticized the moves and the changes.
Yeah.
Shame on you, man. You should have waited to check it out and judge the aftermath, not just based on what you thought at the beginning.
Couldn't agree with you more, Leo. And like I said earlier, today is a day to give credit where credit is due. It's a day to celebrate. It's been an incredible week. I remember being here last Sunday morning and things looked bleak, and double overtime win last Sunday, and then everything fell into place this week. Leo, we've got to run. Thanks so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it.
Pleasure's always mine. I'm sorry. I think I must sound like right now, but
you're a trooper. You know, that's for sure.
You're a consummate professional, Leo. And hopefully, you know what? We may be chatting again soon. And on a positive note, let's stay in touch, Leo. Thanks so much.
Sounds great. Have a great day, guys.
That's great. Leo Routens, we've got to go to break. We'll be right back after the break with Carlo Koliakovo.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville realised that people may not know how many different kinds of ponzos Pizzaville makes. You can go Italian if you like a sausage. You can go Hawaiian if you like ham and pineapple. And you can go Canadian if you like bacon, beer and hockey. We can build a ponzo that speaks your language, no matter where you are from. Call Pizzaville on your cell phone at #3636 or visit pizzaville.ca.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them every day. They've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
Steel's Paint in Woodbridge, an enormous 20,000 square foot superstore that carries nothing but the best. Superior staff, superior advice, superior selection, superior everything. When you have a really tough job to do, they can knock it down to size. They'll show you how to get it done right, and because they only sell the best of everything, you'll get it done to last. That means superior satisfaction. Steel's Paint, 4190 Steel's Avenue West in Woodbridge, the best.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com or better yet, drop by the number 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on the new AM 740, downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. Live video streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour former Toronto Maple Leaf and former St. Louis Blue, co-host The First Up on TSN Radio Monday to Friday morning from 6 to 10 a.m. Of course, I'm talking about Carlo Koliakovo. Good morning, Carlo. How are you?
Good morning, guys. You forgot to mention their diehard Raptor fan.
We were just...
Oh, my God. Can somebody, like, pinch me? Did I wake up? Did I witness this last night?
Well, you know, we got to... Carlo, you know, we got to chat about it. I'm sure you're going to be chatting about it on your show tomorrow morning. It's probably going to be the focal event of your show. So give us your take. Give us your take of the game and analyze it for us.
It was nerve-wracking. You know, I had a good feeling going into the game based on what's transpired throughout the series. I mean, team down 0-2, everybody counting them out. They lose two of their most important players in the game in game three, and they find a way to gut it out. And I just felt like you could see something special in that team after the game where they gained the confidence that they needed to come back in that series. And just game after game, they just kept getting better. They kept making the adjustments. Kawhi Leonard just had this refuse to lose attitude with him while he was on the court, and he carried the team to victory. I mean, you talk about being down 15 points last night. You know, you can start from the Air Kawhi dunk that changed the momentum of the game, that just got the crowd rocking, and then down 15 with 3 minutes left in the third quarter, cutting the gap to 7, and then in the fourth quarter, it was just take overtime. The bench did an unbelievable job. So happy for guys like Kyle Lowry. You know, the city, the fans of Toronto, I mean, just to watch the celebrations in the street, and the continued celebrations that you see in the mornings from the players posting videos of coming out of the parking garage. Just absolutely amazing for this city of Toronto to show the world that we are the North here in Toronto.
Carlo, I'm looking forward to the matchup with Drake and Draymond Green coming up. What do you think? It should blow up pretty good.
Well, it's amazing that Drake's become such a topic of conversation this year, and I absolutely love it. I mean, you could tell after Game 4 when the Bucks started commenting on it and saying, you know, how it was, you know, disrespectful what he was doing. You could just tell that he was in their head, and I loved it. I absolutely love it. Like, to me, I mean, I'm not Drake, but I love the emotion Drake is showing as a fan, because that's what you should be doing as a Toronto Raptor fan. Toronto. I mean, I've been posting videos all playoffs of my reactions because of how invested I'm finding myself in this team and their success. And, you know, if Drake can continue and get into Draymond Green's face, I mean, all the power to it. This is a huge advantage for us and something that we should definitely rally around.
I can't let this one go by because I got Franceschetti here who's chomping at the bit, and he came in fit to be tied this morning. So I'm gonna Lou's got a little bit of a different take on that. He's got some strong opinions, Lou. I'm gonna let you jump in here, but remember, Lou, this is a family show.
Let's hear it, Lou.
Try to make it as diplomatic as possible in language that we're allowed to say on the air. So go ahead, Lou.
Morning, Carlo.
What's up, Lou?
Listen, I see a completely different picture here. Obviously, I'm not sure if you were around when I played the game. I played the game with a lot of emotion, too. But if I see a jerk like that sitting on the side, he can do all the emotions. I just don't like him being the focal point of the whole series. You know, he's up every single play. He thinks he's Nick Nurse on the side of the thing. And if I'm a ball player coming, especially the way he was yapping at, I'm not sure if he was yapping at the coach or at the player. If I see something like that, I would definitely either confront him with it or just kind of more or less, oh, sorry, I threw a ball right in your face.
Isn't the issue, Lou, I'll ask you to comment on this, Carlo.
Yeah.
I think the difference between basketball, because if you're in hockey, all the fans are behind the glass.
Yeah.
And they can say whatever they want. They can scream whatever they want. They can't squish water or throw anything. But, you know, aside from the profanity aspect of it, which isn't permissible with, you know, with children in the audience, they can criticize, say, yell, do whatever they want. Difference with basketball, he's right on the court. He's right next to the bench.
Well, here's the thing about basketball, Lou, is that basketball is about storylines and celebrities. And in this type of moment, this far into the playoffs, you know, TV pays millions and millions of dollars for their rights to broadcast games. Well, what sells it? When they've got celebrities at the game. And when a celebrity, a public figure can be a topic of conversation when it involves interaction with the players, that's what sells. That's what people want to talk about on SportsCenter. That's what people want to talk about in the news and stuff. And that's been the NBA for years. I mean, you can go back to the Spike Lee days. I mean, Spike Lee was really just a fan until he became Spike Lee because people started to talk about him. You talk about the confrontation with Reggie Miller. And just because, like you just said, the fact that they're on the court and so close to the game allows them to be emotionally invested into the game. So I can see where a road player, you know, for the Bucks can get irritated by it, especially when things aren't going well, because, yeah, he is a little bit in their face. He's making comments. He's making gestures. But don't think he's the only one doing it. I mean, Jack Nicholson for years for the Lakers used to be this guy.
He was more smug, though.
You're talking about Spike Lee. Spike Lee only had one thing, and it was against Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
And he was on the other side of the court.
This is awesome for Toronto because it's putting Toronto on the map of basketball.
Well, guys, I'm sorry I got to interrupt. You know, it's live radio. We don't have a lot of time. And
we're talking about Drake, too.
See, that's the problem. We should be talking about the Raptors, not Drake.
No, I got to interrupt because the real reason we brought you on, Carlo, is the St. Louis Blues are in the Stanley Cup final. And, we want to get a few minutes left with you and let's get an opportunity to chat a little bit about that. What a remark. I know that, you know, you still you have a little bit of your heart still in St. Louis. Been posting, you've been Twittering pictures of your son Leo in a St. Louis Blues jersey. What does it mean to you, Carlo? You know, you were hustled out of town with a guy who's still playing, look great in a Leaf uniform, Alexander Steen for Lee Stepniak. Tell us what it means to have the St. Louis Blues in the Stanley Cup final after 49 years. And well, you can tell us a little bit about St. Louis as well. What does it mean to the fan base?
Well, it means a lot to me. One, because it's an incredible story. From where they were at the beginning of the year to where they are now, I think is something unheard of you see in hockey. And for me personally, there's still a real deep personal attachment to that team, just because of all the players that are still there that I'm really close friends with. I had my career years playing in St. Louis. I absolutely love St. Louis. Me and my wife talked about, you know, maybe making St. Louis a permanent home for us one day. And just, you know, the success stories of people that I'm still really close with. And you can start with Craig Berube, the head coach, one of the best coaches I've ever had the chance to play for, personally and professionally. I still have a close bond with both the assistant coaches, Steve Ott and Mike Van Ryn, who I played with. And you can go along the players on the team. You talk to Alexander Steen, a player that I got traded for, Alex Petrangelo, who was one of my best friends. The list goes on and on, even including Ryan O'Reilly, who I developed a really close relationship with my time in Buffalo. So the attachment is there. And even though I'm not there part of the team, I still feel like I'm part of the team. And I mean, this has been an unbelievable time of year for me. I mean, watching the Raptors do what they do because I'm from Toronto and watching the Blues being the Stanley Cup final. I've never been so emotionally invested in a sports time of year than this year with the Blues and the Raptors. And just for the city of St. Louis, blue collar town, great sports fan. You talked about 49 years since being there, right from the ownership, who's, you know, Tom Stillman and his ownership group, when they took over the team, this is what they dreamed of when they got that, or when they bought the team. And so I couldn't be more happier, for this group of players, for this team, for this city to be where they are. And honestly, they've been a ton of fun to watch. I mean, this is a team that's so well built top to bottom, and rightfully so deserve to be where they are because they beat some really good teams to get there. I mean, you can Boston, you know, they beat the Leafs in seven games. They kind of caught a break with Tampa losing to Columbus, even though Columbus gave them a good series. And then Carolina, you know, if anybody asked to play Carolina in the conference final, not to take away from the success that they had and the great story they were, but you take your chances. I think they had a pretty easier road than the Blues did. But just for the Blues, I mean, I love this team. And I talk about the video that I posted about my son. I think just because of the attachment that's still there with all the close relationships that I still have.
Well, we ran a bit short of time, Carlo. We got Scotty Bowman coming up after you to talk about St. Louis.
Okay.
So I really hate to cut you short because I've got about 17 other questions I'd like to ask you. And unfortunately, you know what live radio's like. You never have enough time. But I'm going to give Lou last word in with you, Lou.
Sounds Carlo, good. I just love the way the Blues are playing. It brings back the old times where you really got to grind things out. You got to take the body. And maybe the people here in Toronto will figure out exactly what they're going to need to go farther in the playoffs. And I didn't know you were that old if you play for so many teams. And so because I played with Chief.
However old Carlo is, he's younger than you, Lou. So.
Yeah, yes, he is. But where did you was Berube there in St. Louis when you were there?
No, I had him in Philadelphia when I was.
Oh, you were in Philadelphia too.
So I talked about teams. I played for 17
Buffalo?
In 8 years.
Yeah, because Ott just retired last year in Dallas.
Yeah.
Or sorry, in St. Louis, and he played for Dallas for so many years, and obviously Van Rijn was a big, highly recruited kid out of Michigan that didn't do that well.
But I played with him in Toronto.
What's that?
I played with Van Rijn in Toronto.
When did you play in Toronto?
Oh, come on, Lou. I feel like I'm moderating heavy metalweight fight here.
Hey, Carlo, I wish St. Louis all the best. They play the game the way it's supposed to be played in the trenches.
In a couple of minutes, Carlo, we got to let you go, but we do, obviously, we want your assessment of the series. So on this note, last question, analyze the series for us.
So basically, like Lou said, I mean, you heard Pete DeBoer, the two heaviest teams are playing in the playoffs. And, you know, I talked about the way they're built. Every line gives you something different for each team. And, you know, you got your superstar line on line one. You have guys that fill different roles. I think both teams are evenly matched. I would slightly give the edge to the St. Louis Blues just because I think their defense are built better. And maybe their third and fourth lines can give you more than Boston does. But Boston has home ice. They've been really good at home ice. And Tuukka Rask has been playing really good. You got a young goaltender in Binnington. Who knows how he's going to be in the moment. He's been outstanding up until now. But, you know, the both teams are really well coached. I think the Blues have the identity of the way Craig Berube used to play. And that's why I loved him so much as a coach. He keeps guys honest. He keeps them accountable. And players love to play for him. So I'm cheering for the Blues, and just not just because I have the attachment with them, but just because I hate the Boston Bruins. So.
Anyways, we've been chatting with Carlo. Carlo, we've got to let you go, but I do want to let our listeners know I'm sure you'll be analyzing the series in greater detail tomorrow morning. And first up on TSN Radio, Monday to Friday, 6 to 10 a.m., please listen in. Carlo always and Mike Landsberg always do a great job. Carlo?
Thanks, boys.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
We'll see you on the golf course, Carlo.
Thanks, guys. Anyways, got to go. We'll be right back with the legend, Scotty Bowman.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville announced their loyalty program, but some listeners thought I was saying royalty program. To be clear, Pizzaville cannot get you into the royal family. Stop that. However, after your sixth online order, you'll get a large pizza of your choice free with your seventh order, and that'll make you feel like a king or queen. Oh boy. Find out more at pizzaville.ca.
At Titanium Logistics, we believe that choosing the right shipping company comes down to two issues, price and cost. Most prices are competitive, will likely save you money too, but the cost of choosing the wrong company to service your cross-border freight to and from the U.S. and Mexico can be extraordinary. If it's not where it should be, when it should be, that bargain price, worthless. Titanium Logistics. On time, on budget. Call 905-266-3014. Ask for Blair Downey.
At 20,000 square feet, Steeles Paint in Woodbridge is Canada's largest independent paint store. Big deal, right? Big deal, yes. The best brands, the best staff, the best advice, the best of everything. From color matching to brand selection, whether you're a pro or a DIYer, we'll look after you from the minute you walk in to the minute you walk in a second time as a completely satisfied customer. Big store, big deal, bigger satisfaction. Simple. Steeles Paint, 4190 Steeles Avenue West in Woodbridge.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. It's our distinct pleasure to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour Hockey Hall of Fame coach, Scotty Bowman. Good morning, Scotty. How are you this morning?
I'm very good, thanks.
Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. It's Boston, St. Louis. Certainly brings back a lot of memories. We're old enough here, Scotty, to have lived through that series. And the iconic part about that series is, of course, everybody remembers the Bobby Orr goal. Which got captured in one of the most iconic sports photographs. But your recollection, Scotty, Boston, St. Louis, bring back memories for you. Your recollections of that series.
Yeah, it was a tougher one. We had been in the finals the first 68-69. But when I look back now and I see where that was the start of a real probably should have been a dynasty for Boston, because they – you know, they won in 70, they won in 72. Bobby Orr was right at, I would say, that was his real prime time, because he was about 22, 23. They were real big upset in 71. I don't really know what happened to them in 73. I think he started getting injuries. But when I look back at the series, going into that series, Bobby Orr had 120 points. That was his record season. We tried to shadow him the first game. It wasn't much of a success. They beat us, I think, 6-1 or 6-2. But they were a powerhouse. You know, because they were so good offensively, and we were a strong defensive team. We had strong goaltending. I don't know why we did it, but Jacques Plante started the game, and he got hit with a slap shot. He got a concussion, actually, and. We had Glenn Hall. He might have been injured or something, because we didn't finish the game. The backup goalie was a younger goalie that we were, you know, grooming to be with us. But we would like to. We got a little better as the series went on, and we actually had two leads in the fourth game in Boston, an early lead and a 2-1, and then a 3-2 lead, and we got a penalty, and we happened to kill it, but. Glenn Hall stood on his head that game. I looked at the stats one time, and his shots were like 45-20. So we would have liked to have competed better. But, you know, being an expansion team and meeting a team like that, we didn't disgrace ourselves, but because we had two decent games in Boston. But it was pretty discouraging for looking back. I was 12 in a row I lost. I wondered if I'd ever win a game in the finals, but had so many sweeps each way, and that was another sweep against me.
You had an interesting name on the team, Al Arbor. Did you see the coaching abilities in him then?
Oh, sure. After that season, I put Al in as coach, and really what happened is we started off, we were about the same as we were before, but we had the he didn't have the luxury of having Al Arbor on defense, and we kind of struggled. We were going to get in the playoffs, and then I don't know how it worked out. He was going to come back and helped us the last maybe 25 games or something of the season with the fact that he was going to resume the job the following season, and that caused the departure of myself, because we lost the next year. We made a trade in his year of coaching. The owners were getting anxious because we'd lost the three times in a row. They were questioning if we were ever going to, how could we win with this team? We had to rebuild it. And they kind of forced a trade. We had to trade Red Berenson to Detroit. We made a good trade for the future, but I had told them it was going to hurt us in the playoffs, and it sure did. We traded Red Berenson for Gary Unger. We gained about 10 years, but when we did lose, that was the first time we lost. I went back on the bench, and Al came back and played in year four, and we lost to Minnesota. That was the first time we'd lost to one of our own teams in the expansion. And everything broke loose. The owners were unhappy. They didn't have a good memory of the fact I told them that we could make the trade. It would be good for the future, but it's going to hurt us right now. And we got knocked out. And then they didn't want me to come back with Al Arbor as the coach. We had Cliff Fletcher as my assistant. They wanted to make all kinds of changes in the organization, and I had a long contract left, and I said, I'm sorry, but I can't stay if these guys don't stay. I mean, we're a team, so I took off.
Scott,
Al was a playing coach in Rochester when he was a playing coach. It was like assistant playing coach. Joe Crozier was the head coach, but they were grooming Al to be a coach. He was in the Toronto organization. I played in Rochester. They won three or four times the American League Championship. And a cute story about Al, they used to call him up in late March to the Leafs as an insurance defenseman. And he did it for 2 years in a row. They won the Stanley Cup. He didn't get into any games, but he got tired of doing that. He had a young family, and he's one of the few contracts I ever heard of. He put in his next contract with Ponch Imlach. He said he couldn't be recalled from Rochester without his permission. And I think it was the Leafs' fourth cup in 64. That's the only cup he didn't get recalled because he was in Rochester, and he was getting tired of being called up and just sitting around for a couple of months. But that was a cute story. But he was a wonderful coach. And as a captain, he just developed our young defense. We had a couple of young defensemen, Barkley and Bob Plager. Barkley played with Al and became a very solid NHL defenseman for at least 10 years.
Talking about St. Louis, Boston, 2019. Boston Bruins are coming off a 10-day layoff. If you're the coach, you concerned about that?
I would be concerned. I had a 10-day layoff once in Buffalo. It was the first cup the Islanders won. And we had 10 days off. We won the first series against Vancouver, and we swept Chicago. We had 10 days off. And, you know, the first two games, we were the high seed, too. We lost the first game in double overtime. We didn't recover and lost game two. And then we lost another game in the island. It hurt us a lot. But they won the cup. They were a good team. But we were a good team, too. But I think it's a little different now because the players are in peak condition. Hardly a week or a month goes by, or even in the off season. So, and Boston's got some veterans that probably could have used a little bit of the time off. I know they had a scrimmage game on Thursday. They scheduled a regular scrimmage game, 2 25-minute periods, with fans and referees and that. But St. Louis have had a good run, and they had I think they had the ideal time for a team like that, 5 or 6 days. But the thing about Boston that I've been so impressed with, you know, they were down against Toronto, as we all know. They had to go into Toronto and win game six, and then they pulled away from game seven in the third period. But you know, in the playoffs, you're always playing a team. After you win one round, the next round, the next team, they've won a round too, and you have to play better if you keep going. And then the second round, I mean, you know, they're playing a team like Columbus, just knocked off Tampa four straight, a team that had won 62 games, And they persevered and won that in six. And then they drew a team. People don't know much about Carolina, but Carolina knocked off the Stanley Cup champion last year, Washington, and then they knocked off the Islanders, who had a banner season. And then they go against Boston, and Boston beats them four straight. So Boston ended up winning their last six playoff games prior to this layoff. So it's going to be interesting to see. They were on a roll, and Lou would know as a player that when you're on a roll, you want to keep playing, you know. And they had 10 days off, but Bruce Cassidy's done a great job, and I think they've taken every precaution. But fellas like Chara, Bergeron, these guys, they're true pros. I think, though, we're going to have a better series than I know it was not better than 70 for sure, but it's going to be a team on the rise. Craig Berube's got these players playing as a team. He doesn't have numbers on the lines. He's got players that we don't know a lot about that have just performed. I looked up some of them. I mean, you know, they have a fellow, Oscar Sundquist. I don't know a lot about him. I think he came out of the Pittsburgh organization, and in 144 games, he had 14 career goals, and he's already got four goals in the playoffs. You know, which is way above his average, and they play he plays everybody. Both teams play a full lineup, so we don't have a series where you can just count on a couple of guys.
Scotty, I know how you, being a player, you want to get you want to play as many games as possible in just a short period of time, because you want to one, you want to get it over with, but you're in the groove, and that 10 days off, I think, is ridiculous. During the regular season, players look forward to 10 days because they probably know they have another maybe 10 or 15, 20 games to go before the end of the regular season. But during the playoffs, I can't understand why. Well, I guess I do understand, because the league wants the TVs.
Well, TV's big. You're right, Lou. They're finishing up a big, long 10-year, 12-year contract. And you know, even when they play the first two games, every time they're going to change cities in this series, that they've thrown in another game, another day rather. Yeah. So like it's going to be Monday, Wednesday, Boston, and then the next game is Saturday, Monday, and then another. If it goes past four, which it probably will,
it seems so, like every time you change cities, are given the extra day off.
And, yeah.
The players just want to play the game. They could play seven games in 7 days, and it'll be as good as hockey as it was if they played and took it in 2 weeks. They just want
to. You people know in Toronto now, with the Raptors winning that and getting in the finals. Usually the NHL and the NBA, they'll stay away from each other. I don't know the schedule, but maybe they have a conflict. Do you have the schedule for the finals of the?
They start
the
Thursday.
Basketball?
That's a good point, Scotty. Haven't looked at it yet.
I think they usually stay away from each other.
Yeah,
and I think the league is looking at this as this is our premier event, the Stanley Cup Final. We all concentrate. I mean, we know what hockey's like. You can have a great regular season, but the pinnacle is the Stanley Cup. It's not like some other sports. I mean, but it's the top. You know, it's not like English soccer, which the league championship is the big thing. But they're going to make this into the history of the two teams, and first time in 49 years for the teams to meet again. So, but it's something for the fan. The fans will be rabid in Boston and St. Louis. They'll just be off the charts, you know.
Scotty, unfortunately, we'd love to spend much more time with you, but our time for the hour is coming to a conclusion, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, it's 10 o'clock.
So we're going to wish you the best for the rest of the – we always wish you the best. We thank you for joining us, and enjoy the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, you guys are a lot to enjoy the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA.
And we'll enjoy the NBA Finals. Yeah. Scotty, we really, really appreciate this. Sure. Thank you so much.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
See you, Scotty.
Bye.
Scotty Bowman. You know what? It's always a pleasure having Scotty on the show. Greatest, in my opinion, the greatest, greatest coach, professional coach in the history of any sport. Won Stanley Cups with the Crack Me Naz, three different teams. Three or four Habs, Detroit, Pittsburgh,
Chicago,
but not as a coach. In what, four different decades, three different decades? Unparalleled career. And just a gentleman, you know, taking the time for us on a Sunday morning to chat about something he was involved with a long time ago. Lou, you know what? We got 2 minutes left. We're going to give you an opportunity to get the rest of this Drake thing off your chest. And we did talk to Carlo Koliakovo about it. Naz, I want you to chime in. I understood Carlo about the entertainment part of it. It's great entertainment. It sells. It boosts ratings. It gets the fans fired up. But it's almost like WWE stuff. You're sitting next to a bench. You're 5 feet away from another team, and you're yelling at the coach, and you're yelling at the player. It seems.
You know what he reminds
you know,
me of?
It should. You know what? You know, I love Drake and all that, but it really. You know what? Maybe I'm just old fashioned. There's something. Something about it seems wrong.
Do you remember Mark Cuban on the sidelines?
Yeah,
no different than Drake.
And you know, I don't disagree with you, Naz. What was Cuban directing his comments at the other team, at the other coach? Was he? It's almost like at the field. Drake's interfering in the game. Lou, you carry. You're a player, okay?
I understand where everybody's coming with.
Yeah.
He's the icon. He's the ambassador for the Toronto Raptors, for the city of Toronto. I think the biggest mistake was for the Milwaukee coach to get involved in it. And as a player.
See, we look at it from a Toronto perspective.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Let's say it's LA and give me some rap star. Name me one. I'm not familiar with rap star.
Say I can.
Whoever. Some rap star sitting on the Lakers bench and he's yapping at Nick Nurse all game long. How would we feel about that?
Well,
I mean, as a professional athlete, you got to suck it up. I get it. You're supposed to ignore that nonsense, right? But he's in your face during a game.
Walter, it's just like when you're a player. Marchant knows how to push people's buttons. Yeah. When you retaliate to him, you know he knows that he's got you exactly where he wants you. Yeah. Okay? If you avoid that kind of stuff and absorb it and keep it for the most crucial time, it's just like,
anyways, we got to go, Lou. I apologize. Okay.
No, good. I didn't want to talk.
Sebastian's buzzing in my ear. If we don't get off the air, he's going to cut us off. Okay. Anyways, well, I'm sure there'll be lots to talk about Drake and Raptors next Sunday. Anyways, to all our listeners, have a fantastic week. Thanks so much for joining
us. Let's go, Raptors.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.